This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it. It is Wednesday, my friends. Wednesday, and, well, it's over. For all intents and purposes, the race is over. On both sides, for the Republicans and the Democrats. That'll be talked about at length starting in just a moment. But first on the program today, the Attorney General Bill Schuette will be holding a press conference later today where at least three people are expected to be indicted on charges related to the Flint water fiasco. At least three people to be indicted on the Flint water fiasco. Julie Gundlach will be joining us. So will Todd Wood, Herb London, and Steve Moore is going to be here to talk energy. Fracking and horizontal drilling, producing more natural gas than ever before. And honestly, natural gas is a wonder of the world here in America. It's cheap, it's abundant, and we as America have more than anybody else. But that doesn't matter. The left has declared war on it, and any technology that would keep America energy independent and out of the energy poverty decades that lie ahead for those that are relying on wind and solar. We'll talk all about that today on the Steve Gruber Show. The hotline number, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Matt is on the line, by the way. Let's start with Matt, and then we'll get to everything else. Matt, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to say that government should be protecting the young, the old, the disabled, and the vets. When they start protecting the poor, they make more of them.
And what do you mean by that?
And what they do is, what it is that government can't take that role because they're not taking away their life or their liberty or pursuit of happiness. They have that even though they're struggling. You only can protect, as government, life first, liberty, and pursuit of happiness third. Now, I can determine any Supreme Court case by those three lists, and life is one, liberty is second, and pursuit of happiness is third. For example, the border. They are pursuing their happiness by coming across the border, right?
Okay.
The illegal immigrants.
Sure.
They are breaking the law in pursuit of their happiness, and we are not breaking our law in pursuit of our happiness to keep them out. So they lose with abortion. Okay, a woman is pursuing her happiness. She wants to get an abortion. Okay, what is government supposed to do? Give her her pursuit of happiness over life? Guess what that would do in the future?
You tell me.
That means that there's a sinking ship.
Yeah.
The men would take the women's life jackets off, kick the children to the side, jump in the boat, and take off. That's why life is protected first. It's most vulnerable.
And I agree with that, Matt. I greatly appreciate you checking in today. Some good things to think about to start today. And that's the great thing about the hotline here, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Share your thoughts on everything that's going on. Would you reconsider today voting for Donald Trump? For all intents and purposes, Ted Cruz has now been eliminated. Donald Trump's victory in New York, substantial, to say the least. He took more than 60% of the vote. His highest total of any state to date. He's taken at least 89 of New York's 95 Republican delegates, but I believe he's going to get all of the 14 outstanding. I think he's going to finish with all 95. So while Ted Cruz works the back rooms in Wyoming and Colorado to maneuver delegates through voterless caucuses, Donald Trump is garnering huge support, huge votes. He's now at about 850 delegates. Ted Cruz at 559. John Kasich has 147. He's a non-factor. In fact, Marco Rubio has more delegates still than John Kasich. Kasich's still betting on a contested convention, though. Hillary Clinton also a big winner last night, although Bernie Sanders is outraged, saying that some 3 million people that registered as independents were turned away at the polls, not allowed to vote in the Democratic primary yesterday, feels it was all skewed, feels it was all, dare I say it, rigged. And what do you think? Is this whole process, was it gamed from the beginning? I mean, Donald Trump has apparently been beating the game pretty well. Hillary Clinton has been taking advantage of the game pretty well. Do you believe it is a gamed system, a rigged system? Three-card Monte, the shell game, whatever you want to call it. If you think so, give me a call, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. We'll hear from both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in a minute here on the program. But first, let's look at what Donald Trump has set up going forward. Now, remember, this is the guy that could not win the Republican nomination. This is the guy they say cannot beat Hillary Clinton. This is the guy that cannot win no matter what happens. It's impossible. More than 60% of Republican women in the state of New York voted for Donald Trump. Huge, huge portions of women breaking for Donald Trump. He has the lead, no question. That's part one. He has the momentum, that's part two. And the way Colorado played out, Trump has used the Colorado rules change situation that denied him any delegates there as a warning to the party that people need to play fair, and it has resonated. It has resonated with voters across the country who look at that and go, you know what, that's not right. Whether you think, and the rules are the rules. I agree with you folks on the Cruz side. The rules are the rules, and he played by the rules, Ted Cruz did. But Donald Trump said the rules are rigged, and people are buying into it. And then, of course, Corey Lewandowski, the charges, the strange charges of him grabbing the arm of journalist Michelle Fields, that's all been thrown out now, makes Donald Trump look like the victim with a woman. Another big thing on the horizon that I've been talking about for a while, the Megyn Kelly interview, which is coming. I predicted this long ago. Trump and Megyn are planning a one-on-one interview that will be a huge ratings event. This will be gigantic. It'll probably play over a couple of nights. Expect Donald Trump to be polite, professional, and dare I say presidential during the sit-down. Expect Kelly and Trump to be on good terms when it's over. Expect them to be on very good terms, in fact. And what it'll do, it'll go a long way in burying the idea that Trump has this war on women. All his silly tweets and all his silly behavior will be forgotten because him and Megyn Kelly will soon be in the Mutual Admiration Society. Not to mention, it'll propel Megyn Kelly to a place in the spotlight where she's never been before, but she will likely remain for years to come. It's the behoove that Donald to become friends with her. We'll continue this rundown of Donald Trump's chessboard after this.
The Steve Gruber Show, American values with Midwestern common sense.
All right, now let's pick up where we were. Let's pick up where we were, because when Donald Trump concludes his interview with Megyn Kelly, his transformation will be complete. What I mean by that is you have not heard Donald Trump say something outrageous in about 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more now. He certainly hasn't insulted Megyn Kelly, has been no Twitter wars, no back and forth. The only thing that he has taken on in the last 2 weeks primarily, Lion Ted, as he puts it, and mostly the Republican system for picking candidates. He's in a transition here. You see, the bad boy, the rebel, is cleaning up his act to get the girl being you, the American voter. He's putting on his best behavior so he can get the girl, you, to vote for him. The question is, how well can he take advice? I mean, he's pretty narcissistic. I think that's safe to say. He's pretty much an egomaniac. That's pretty well safe to say. My biggest fear. Oh, you know, one other thing. Have you seen the haircut seems different, too? The haircut seems less wild. As well. Anyhow, Donald Trump seems to me to be heading in a direction where he's much more palatable. Now, his points are still the same. His points being immigration, protecting America from bad trade deals, American jobs, making sure people have a fair share. But my biggest fear of Donald Trump is the same fear that I have of Hillary Clinton or currently Barack Obama, and that is the blatant abuse of the Constitution, ignoring the Constitution. Because if Barack Obama can run around with a pen and a cell phone, so will Donald Trump. You would hope that he would correct that and rein that in, but I'm not sure anybody believes that would really happen. You see, power is power. And as Barack Obama runs around changing policies and doing it, you're just running around changing policies the way Barack Obama does, well, Donald Trump will want the same ability to dictate changes. My only concern is that he will have too many knee-jerk reactions. He's quick to decide on things too often sometimes. And if he becomes president, which I would not bet against him at this point, I mean, well, he can't win. Yeah, he couldn't become the nominee for the Republican Party either. Now, he's going to be short, it seems, by about 50 to 75 delegates, maybe 100. I seriously doubt that he will be not denied the nomination, because if he does get denied the nomination, it'll be a complete meltdown for the Republican Party. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders ought to consider a third-party run himself. And I'm serious about this. Bernie Sanders isn't even a Democrat. He's a Democratic Socialist, which is very different. He has garnered a huge amount of grassroots support. Sanders ought to consider taking a run at it. And hear this, because you're going to hear this a lot going forward. Crooked Hillary. Donald Trump trying to find a label to stick on Hillary. Crooked Hillary seems to be the one he's test ballooning now. We'll see where that goes. Anyhow, from last night, Donald Trump talking about his huge win in New York State. It's clip 5. Go.
We don't have much of a race anymore based on what I'm seeing on television. Yeah. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. And we've won another state. As you know, we have won millions of more votes than Senator Cruz, millions and millions of more votes than Governor Kasich. We've won, and now, especially after tonight, close to 300 delegates more than Senator Cruz. We're really, really rocking. We expect we're going to have an amazing number of weeks, because these are places and they're in trouble. They're in big trouble. When you look at Pennsylvania, when you look at Indiana, when you look at Maryland and Rhode Island and so many places, we have problems everywhere you look. We are going to solve those problems. And one of the big problems is the economy and jobs, and that is my wheelhouse. So, again, I want to thank everybody. It's really nice to win the delegates with the votes. You know, it's really nice. Nope.
All right, that's enough of that. You get the idea. Yeah, you get the idea. He big win last night. Rudy Giuliani, by the way, endorsed Donald Trump, which is significant. You know, the nation's mayor, as he has been called since 9/11, the nation's mayor endorsed Donald Trump. So I'm guessing we're going to put together a poll. I think we're going to get a running poll together, Trump or Hillary, because that's really where it's going to end up. If it doesn't, you know, Donald Trump would have to do something amazingly, amazingly stupid at this point to not become the front runner for the rest of the race. Now, whether or not he gets 1,237, I cannot say. But I can say this. His people are already working the back rooms of those unsecured delegates, the free agents, the radical free agents out there. He's working those rooms because if he can get it done on the first ballot, that's the best chance. If he doesn't get it done on the first ballot, that's Ted Cruz's open door to come in and attempt to get the nomination, which would create huge problems, I believe, for the Republicans. We'll keep an eye on it for you and for all of us. All right, this hour of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education they need. To learn more, go to savewithmi529.com, savewithmi529.com. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
It's Wednesday, and man, the world has changed, I'll tell you that. Hey, by the way, write this down if you've been thinking about it. And you can go to the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. It's tacked at the top, and that is the big Earth Day barbecue celebration. Earth Day barbecue celebration at Gilbert and Blake's. It's in Okemos, Michigan. If you're within striking distance, you know, fire up the Harley. Bring the gas guzzler. Classic cars encouraged. Yeah, we're gonna have a big old cookout for Earth Day. That's because we celebrate the bounty of Earth. You know, we're not doing the Henny Penny, Chicken Little, Sky is Falling nonsense. Although we're trying to come up with a cocktail for the evening called a Chicken Little. I just haven't decided, you know, what should be in this, you know, adult beverage for your enjoyment. There will be specials on ribs and chicken and whatever, drinks, whatever. No, I'm not buying the whole world a free dinner on Earth Day. Call Bernie Sanders for that. If you're into that, get Bernie's number. Real quickly, the weather for Thursday is supposed to be, well, pretty decent. 70 degrees, maybe some rain. It keeps changing. For Friday, about 58 degrees, no rain. The rain should be here tomorrow. Gone for Friday for Earth Day. A scorching 58 degrees. I think we'll survive it. My next good friend, I wish he was here. He's not. Todd Wood joining me. L. Todd Wood, journalist for the Washington Times. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. I'd love to come. That'd be great.
Well, that's how we celebrate Earth Day around here, with charred animal flesh and craft beer.
Sounds great.
I mean, the Earth, I don't know. I've asked this question to people recently, and I'll ask you. You travel a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And you hear incessantly about global warming, climate change et al., right?
Right.
What I want people to do is simply this. Can you, from your own personal observation, give me an example, just one example of what global warming you have seen, the direct effect that you have seen of this alleged climate change, global warming thing that's going on in the world? Because if it were so prevalent and so obvious and we knew it was going on and all the scientists agree and all of these terrible things are going on, can you cite one example you've seen with your own eyes? Anybody? You know what I get? Nothing. Crickets. I mean, maybe you've seen something along the way, Todd. Anything.
Well, I mean, the Earth has changed or the climate has changed forever. It's just not caused by humans. That's the only difference.
Right. The climate's changing always. I mean, I think the greatest gift of global warming to me, and I say this, the greatest gift of global warming that I see on a regular basis are a thing we like to call the Great Lakes. 20% of the world's fresh water is a result of melting glaciers that we get to enjoy here in Michigan and the upper Midwest, a direct result of Great Lakes that happened, well, thousands of years before Republicans. I'll just put it that way. All right, give me your summation of the big win by Donald Trump. 61% of the vote he took in New York. He's way past. They said he could never get more than 35 or 40%. Guess what? Yeah, he can get a lot more.
Where did the delegate number come out? That's the big number.
850. He's now at 850.
No, but what did he get last night? I didn't.
95. I think he got them all. I think because wow. I'm just watching the returns come back because he was over 50% in all 14 congressional districts or something like that. I think he picks up all the rest.
That's big. And you know, he got 59% of the women vote as well.
Yeah, I thought it was 60%, but whatever. 59. Yeah. He got the women that he can't get. So the next big thing on his horizon here, and I don't know when he does it, but he is going, as I have predicted for a long time, and people said, well, that's never going to happen. Sure it is. He's going to sit down with a one-on-one interview with Megyn Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bury the hatchet. The ratings are going to be off the charts. In fact, Megyn Kelly's going to embarrass Bill O'Reilly with how big her numbers are for that evening, or possibly two evenings, because it might be like a two-day event that they will promote the daylights out of on Fox. And he'll walk out of that having buried the hatchet. They'll make nice. Because if you maybe you've been noticing this little dynamic. Over the last couple of weeks, Donald Trump has not said one insulting thing except to Ted Cruz and the Republican committee for what he considers a rigged system. But no attacks on anybody in particular. No Twitter wars. Nothing offensive. No fist fights at rallies. Nothing. He's making this pivot of being the bad boy to becoming a guy who is acceptable to mainstream voters.
Yeah, and he even called Lion Ted Senator Cruz last night, which I thought was telling.
Yeah, because Senator Cruz is, well, he's pretty well mathematically eliminated, I think. I mean, he might still have, if he won 95% of the vote or something, but for all intents and purposes, it's over.
I agree. No, I completely agree with you.
So what do you think in the fall? Because here's something else that people like Hillary Clinton says, well, I'm getting calls from people all over the world. You know, concerned about Donald Trump. World leaders are calling me. Really, Hillary? And you actually answer the phone? Come on. I'm sorry. Do you really think that people from all over the world are calling concerned about Donald Trump being president and calling her?
No. I don't.
All right. I'm glad we covered that. All right, so moving on. The next president, whoever it turns out to be, you talk about the ISIS being JV. At least that's the way they refer to by our president. I believe our response and our handling of the situation with those terrorists was more of a on the junior high level. ISIS has turned out to be a much stronger team than ever considered previously. But if they go nuclear, which is a concern that it gets passed around a lot, they not only go from the junior varsity, they go from to contending for the title at that point because they become dangerous to an extent we never considered previously.
Well, and that's why I think we need somebody like Trump so badly, who will do what is needed to deal with this issue because it's not being dealt with. And in the current environment, what you're speaking of will happen eventually. And we won't be able to, use New York City for 100 years. It's not going to be a nuclear explosion or, it could be a small, maybe they get a backpack nuke from Russia or something like that, but it's most likely going to be a dirty bomb, and it's going to really be bad for, talk about the environment. I mean, if you're worried about that, I mean, that's one thing to worry about.
Give me an idea and explain to the listeners. I mean, we've heard the term many, many times, and I have a rough estimate of what a dirty bomb is. But more in detail, can you tell us what a dirty bomb is and why it would be so, damaging, detrimental, devastating?
Well, it's nuclear material or radiation that is put into an explosive device so that it will spread nuclear material and radiation over a wide area or even a small area. And, it's not destructive so much as it is, well, it is in a certain way, but it's more just the release of radiation makes, obviously, everyone in the immediate area sick and he'll probably die, but also makes the area unlivable for a long period of time.
Yeah, people die a slow, horrible, painful death over a long term, which is the real concern, I suppose. Other places? I see that, and I think that that's devastating. But then, I look at the problems with water supplies. I mean, big reservoirs provide water for places like Atlanta or Los Angeles or Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
If you contaminate that water supply in some way, the kind of damage long term could be. It could go on for years and years.
Oh, yeah. And you could do that with radiation. You could do it with a lot of things.
Well, there you go.
I mean, there's a lot of crazy ideas that if you think about it, you can do.
All right, now, hold your thought right there, because we're going to try to put together the top three most important foreign policy concerns facing the next president, whoever it may be. We'll do that with L. Todd Woods straight ahead on the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday.
The Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
All right, welcome back to it. We're with L. Todd Wood, analyzing all of these things, how the presidential race will play on the national stage and the international stage. But no matter what happens, the next president, the incoming president, has a lot to deal with, whether it is, nuclear weapons, dirty weapons in the hands of terrorists, the remains of Syria, what happens to Afghanistan, what happens to Iraq. You know, South America is not exactly in great shape in our own hemisphere right now. Brazil having a meltdown, Venezuela teetering on complete collapse financially, if they haven't really already collapsed. A lot of things that we need to think about, or a president certainly needs to think about. Then you've got the Chinese, of course, with earth movers and bulldozers building islands out of the sea and then declaring international water around them, islands that did not previously exist. All sorts of concerns. Todd, L. Todd Wood with us. And Todd, my question is you hear those concerns and you have your own, what are the things that rise to the top of your list? What would be the top two or three things you say, this is the thing the president has to focus on? I didn't even mention things like North Korea or Iran launching missiles. I mean, there's so much.
Well, yeah, you're right. There's so much. I mean, I would say it's probably the top five, with Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, the Middle East, and the terrorist issue. But I think the real way to look at it is, what do you do immediately to deal with that? And there's one thing you do, which is the same thing Ronald Reagan did, which is immediately rebuild the U.S. military in a very fast way. You restart the F-22 production line to buy the 300 fighters that the Air Force wanted to begin with. You start the new bomber production line. You stop the cuts to manpower in the U.S. Army. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do immediately, like Reagan did when he restarted the B-1 production line, to send a message.
And yeah, one of the stories I saw this week that what you're saying there reminds me of, the United States Marines and their airplanes grounded a lot of them because they've been to war for 15 years now, and they don't have the spare parts they need. They haven't had the planes replaced in a timely fashion. They have these challenges now for just keeping their planes in the air, so that they're cannibalizing multi-million-dollar planes to help other multi-million-dollar planes fly. And that's not a good scenario.
Well, you take that one step further. They're actually literally going to museums to find spare parts. I mean, think about that for a minute. Whether it be, planes, I can tell you, I know when I'm old, because the aircraft I flew are now in museums. So, and the parts are there, or in the boneyard. So it's a problem. And that's the main thing they can do, is fund the military appropriately, no matter what it takes, because that's going to solve a lot of problems. It's going to send a message, and perception matters.
So where did you fly? Tell us a little bit about your background so people have a better appreciation.
Well, I flew combat search and rescue helicopters initially for the Air Force. Then I went into special operations and flew MH-53 Pablo helicopters, which is basically long-range insertion and extraction for special forces, Tier 1 special forces, SEAL Team 6, Delta, those guys. So I did that for 3 years.
So you went into a few hot LZs, to say the least.
Yeah, I went into some sporty areas. That's
sporty. Sporty areas, yeah. That's where they're shooting back. That's sporting of you. Oh, Lord, you have, that takes a steady hand. That's all. It just takes a steady hand.
Well, it's a young man's game, and that's when I left, when I was 29. I just realized I was getting too old for this, so I moved on to Wall Street.
I met another man who flew special forces for the U.S. Marines back in 68 and 69, and he went on to open a company. He now owns the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team and a few other things. His name is David Pratt. It's where he learned to fly. Nice, great guy, too. So you can learn a lot about yourself if you're in a hot zone, I suppose, which gives you a lot of credibility. And I bring that up, and I knew some of that, Todd, but I bring that up because I want the viewers or the listeners to understand that when you talk about what's going on in the world, you have a foundation of what you're saying and why you're saying it. And when you look at an enemy force, whatever it is, whether it's a terrorist force or a national force like Russia, you have a pretty good understanding. You have a foundation of experience that goes with it as well, which I think is key.
No, I agree. I went to the Air Force Academy, and you get a good sense as a military officer, anyone from anywhere, you really understand a lot more than most civilians do the threats that face us, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So if you look at the different smaller contingencies of terrorists and dirty bombs and so forth, but then you look at Russia, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out from day to day what they're up to. I don't know that most people can. It seems to me that they'll be up to one thing, and then they go a different direction altogether. They go into Syria, but they got everything they want, then they leave. You know, we're done here, we're leaving, which is not a bad policy, actually. The Americans might want to think about, hey, you know, once we're done, maybe we could think about leaving and taking our stuff home with us. It's an idea.
Yeah, Putin is you have to think of Putin as a czar. He is not communist anymore, although he grew up in that system and operates the way the Soviets did, very craftily and sneakily. But he's the new czar, and he doesn't want to restore the Soviet Union. He wants to restore the Russian Empire. And if you know your history, that goes all the way from Western Europe, parts of Western Europe, Poland, et cetera, all the way to San Francisco. There's actually a Fort Rus in San Francisco because the Russians owned it for a while, down through Alaska. And then they, interestingly enough, they pulled back from the U.S. when the Crimean War started and they needed resources. So that's what he wants, and he is hell-bent on getting it in his term in office.
And when they lost the Crimean War, they sold us that piece of real estate in Alaska in 1867 mm-hmm. for about 14 cents an acre. What a deal!
Which there are people in Russia who call that sale illegal and want it back, by the way.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. They might get a lot of things back in this world. They're not getting Alaska, I can assure you.
I completely agree with you.
52 after. L. Todd Wood, always a pleasure. You can find him at the Washington Times and elsewhere. Todd, thank you as always.
All right, take care, Steve.
There you have it. L. Todd Wood. What a great conversation. Great guy and a veteran pilot. That's why he's here on the Steve Gruber Show.